talking about long suffering. I'm going to change it up a little bit here this morning, and I want to talk to you about love. And no, I know I'm confused for Dr. Phil, but I'm not Dr. Phil. So I do want to talk to you about love, and it's actually a very tough subject matter to preach on. There are a variety of loves in the world. There's agape love, which has to do with God. There's Phila, P-H-I-L-A, which has to do with, like, Philadelphia, which is what? City of brotherly love. It's a man-to-man kind relationship love. Then there's just the natural love that you have for different things, like, I love football. I love this particular food. I love going here. I love my dog. Those type things. But there's also a love that God expects us to incorporate in our lives being saved. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Because truthfully, we have the perfect example of love in the Bible that is expressed to us. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 5. And every time I do a wedding, I always read this verse and incorporate it into my wedding service because it is just so pronounced. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, then I see the true expression of love in the Bible in that Christ loved the church. We didn't just talk about it. He didn't just say, well, I love them. He carried it out and displayed his love for us in that he gave himself for us. So that's a great love that we all experience in our salvation. So considering the fact that that love was bestowed and shown towards us in the demonstration of Christ on the cross, then what is it but for us to act in equal response? Turn to Romans chapter 12. Look in Romans chapter 12. Now, Paul says early on in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I've heard a lot of messages before over the years that I've been saved on this verse 2, and they talk about be not conformed to this world. And so they spend a majority of their message on being not conformed to this world, that you shouldn't be involved in this, you shouldn't be involved in that. But you hear very little about the transformation of your mind. Well, there is something there concerning the transformation of your mind, and all you have to do is continue reading. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to jump down to the passages that would apply to the message of love. So, if you would, think of the transformation of your mind. Go down to verse 9. Look in verse 9. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ozer. I don't even know the word to describe, but they're very, very difficult words to live by. They're very difficult. Why? Because it goes opposite of our carnal nature that we all have. He starts off with verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation's an interesting word. We get an English word from it that's called a simulator. I know that pilots, when they're trained, a lot of their time is spent in a simulator. And it has all the looks inside of an airplane cockpit, and it has all the dials, all the gauges, all of the readings, throttle, everything that a normal plane has, and they will train in this simulator to help them pilot a plane. However, it's not the real deal. When you walk into that simulator and you simulatedly flew from point A to point B, guess what? When you walk out, you're still where you were. You didn't go anywhere. The true development then comes to when you're in the action of a plane. You're doing real-time flying. That's when you get the true test. Well, Paul says, let your love be without dissimulation. In other words, it's a fake love. It's not the real deal, is what he's talking about. It has to do with hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of love. It's how we word saying one thing out one side of your mouth and then saying the opposite out the other side of your mouth. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Cleave to that which is good. We're going to come back to Romans 12. It's kind of going to be, for the most part, our go-to verse. Turn, whole Romans 12, turn to Jeremiah. You have Isaiah and then Jeremiah. You know, I learned early on, before I even knew anything about the Bible, on how to learn where your books are in the Bible, because when you're first saved, that's the hardest thing to do, is learn the orders of the Bible. Well, we were taught early on, think of this phrase, I just love eating donuts. How does that apply? Isaiah. Love, Lamentations. Just Jeremiah. I can't do it like that, but I just love eating donuts. Falls with the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Lamentations, Ezekiel, the order of that. You know what I'm saying. I can't even repeat it. But if you say that, then you can follow in these books that we have here. Kind of a little help there. I doubt it was, but nonetheless. Jeremiah 13. Cleave to that which is good, Romans 12, 9 says. Jeremiah 13. Watch, this is an interesting story. I've read it before. It's been a long time, so we're going to revisit it because it applies to the message concerning love. Jeremiah 13. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. The word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass, after many days, it doesn't say how many, it's just many days, that the Lord said to me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates, and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods, to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as a girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. Therefore, Thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Every bottle shall be filled with wine. They shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even as the fathers and sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. I will hold up there, but you see what the issue is here. If you ever want to get a little comfort off of someone else's misery, go back and read about Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a rough go of it. He was sent as the prophet of that time to preach the word of God to the people of God, Israel, and they had gone after other gods. They had forsaken the Lord, and they gave, I'd say, Jeremiah kind of a rough time, to put it mildly. So read about Jeremiah. It's an interesting read. So the Lord basically said, take this girdle, this cotton girdle, Jeremiah, put it on. He puts it on. It fits. It's perfect. It does what it's supposed to do. He said, now take that girdle, go hide it by the river, and bury it there. So he did. And after many days, like I said, it didn't say how long, after many days of that girl sitting exposed to the weather and all, he's told to go back and dig it up. But when he dig it up, it was marred. It was falling apart. The fabric was starting to fray. It was dirty. And Jeremiah said, this is good for nothing. The Lord said, well, listen to me. I'm going to mar the pride of Judah. I'm going to mar the pride of Jerusalem, just like that girdle is marred, and they will be good for nothing. Good for nothing. Think about that. The girdle, which was good and instead of being kept, is now marred, and it's good for nothing. Look back in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Cleave. That girdle in its good state, clave unto Jeremiah. But it, in its marred state, it was good for nothing. Good for nothing. Paul said, cleave to that which is good. Let me ask you a question. Do you think having a building where we that are saved, we that are alike faith, can assemble and hear the word of God, hear the preaching, have fellowship, have functions here. Is that good? Yes or no? I mean, it's either is or it ain't. If it's good, then cleave to it. If it's not, then this church is good for nothing. Think about it. It's either good or it's bad. There's no in between. Cleave to that which is good. That girdle was not good anymore. It was marred. Well, if it's good that we have this place and assemble in like manner, Paul addressed that, that you be of like mind, of the same mind, then if that's good, cleave to it. Cleave to it. Don't do it like Jeremiah was told to do the girdle. Don't put it off to the side, because at the end of the day, you'll be good for nothing. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Kindly affectionate one to another. Sometimes we have to go back to the base root of what love is all about. This is pretty basic fundamental stuff here, but obvious for mankind. It's pretty deep. Apparently it's tough. It comes a lot harder. And I know how it is, folks. I know salvation was a simple thing. It's called the simplicity in Christ. Why? All the work that had to be done to secure your salvation was done by someone else, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was no work involved in our salvation. It was belief in the truth. Amen? But from there, we still have these carnal bodies that have all the worldly lust and desires in them. They don't just leave when you get saved. I wish they did. I wish it worked that way. The only time it's going to leave is when we have a funeral for you, or the rapture comes and we are caught up and the vile bodies are what? Changed. And that's when it's gone. Until then, we're sitting here. We're a flesh pot. Full of flesh. So God has given us instructions based upon what He thinks would work as a group, an assembly together. And one of those things, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Because, by the way, we are a family. We're in Christ. We're the children of God Almighty, brothers of Jesus Christ. We may come back to Romans 12. I don't know. Till then, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." And we never saw Paul's face, obviously, but he had great concern for the churches, even the ones he never met face to face, because he knew we had a bond together in the Spirit by the gospel. And he says, verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And I do like the wording he uses there in verse 2. "Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love." Knit together in love. I imagine a large majority of the women in here have sewn and probably have a few that have knitted. It's interesting to know that you start off basically with yarn. It could be any color, and you knit it together and it becomes a beautiful tapestry of a comforter that you might be comforted, or a blanket, whatever it may become that you wanted it to become. It's all knit together. And that's how Paul worded the love, that you're knit together, you're interwoven together in love. And you're not to let the love be without the simulation. It's to be the real thing. How do you get the real thing? You just reflect on the love of Jesus Christ. You've got the perfect example of Christ on the cross. He says that you have your hearts knit together. You know, there's a business model that businesses use to help bolster sales, productivity, and it's called networking. Businesses will network. They interweave with other businesses to form a solid fabric where two or more joined, it's tougher. Like a three-chord string or something, it's stronger. It's networking. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do, is be networked together in love, knit together in love. But when you have somebody that doesn't have the vision of the love that they should display, they're eaten up by the carnal old man. And what comes from the carnal old man? Bitterness, anger, hatred, division, unforgiveness, sorrow, because that's the end result of all that, hurt, and everything else that Paul tells us to put off, put away. And you have people that are in the church, the body of Christ. Didn't start here. It's always been there. That's why these writings are here. Yet, they will be that conduit of negativity and reach a hand out to someone else in the church who's willing to give an ear. As Obed said for many years, and as I say, I was a kid back in those days. I didn't fully comprehend the whole spirit of what he said. I do now. As he said, don't let your ears be the garbage can where other people will dump their junk into. And that's exactly what we do. We have somebody that's bitter, that's angry, that has unforgiveness, that is divisive, and they reach a hand out. And you just grab it. And now you've become a conduit. You are networking with that individual on the negativity to spread it through the body of Christ rather than being knit together in love. And you extend it out. Now you're touching people with your negativity from that person to other people that weren't before affected by it. We had the situation a year, little over a year ago. Somebody in the church who should have been more mature than what he was did the exact same thing and tried to dump the garbage in people's ear in this church. I kept my mouth shut about it because I figured people can interpret as Mark is angry. Mark's crying sour grapes. He just complaining to complain. So I kept my mouth shut. But when it started affecting people in this church, I said, that's it. No more. I know the scripture. I know what it is to be spiritual. But when something like that takes place in the church, my Italian comes out. It just does. Besides, Paul was a Roman and he's my example. And you reach a point where you gotta go in there and you gotta cut the fabric. You gotta cut that connectivity. You got someone crying in your ear. You got somebody in here crying in your ear. But I tell you what, next time they do it, say this. Have you prayed about it? And when they tell you yes, you know what you're dealing with. A liar. If you've got faith in the Lord and you pray about it, God hears it. Let Him solve it. Let Him solve it. There have been people in this church for many years, even before I was pastor back in Obed's day, that had been subjected to the right teaching of the Word of God, been diligent in coming, and never assumed the role of the man or woman that they should have been. Well, guess what happens? They become Jeremiah's buried girdle. They're good for nothing. You say that's your opinion. That's fact, Jack, in the words of someone in this church. I wish he was here for that. That's fact, Jack. That ain't speculation. That ain't opinion. They're good for nothing. They're not profitable to the Lord. Neither was Israel. That's what he's trying to tell Jeremiah. And you know what it comes down to? Love. That's what it comes down to. Everything is dictated out of our lives based upon love. Women reach a point in the faith that they are aged women. And it doesn't have to do with how many candles you're blowing out there, ladies. It doesn't have to do with your birthday age. It's from point of salvation to the point you're at. You could be an aged, learning woman at 35 years old. Because at 20, guess what? You put foolishness behind. You got saved. You got busy studying the Word of God. You got committed to the Word of God. And at 35, you know more and you're more responsible than someone who's been in it for 40 years. So it doesn't have to do. An aged woman is someone that has responsibility in the faith. And we have men in here. Same way. Same way. There are men that should be mature and developed and be a pillar of support in the church. And they can't be. You know why? Love. The lack of love. The lack of love. Folks, it's not an impossibility. God never asked you to do anything that was impossible. He did the thing for you that was impossible, and that's your salvation. It was impossible for you to get saved on your own. He took care of the work. But when He says, have brotherly love, He's not saying it like, I'm going to tell them this, but I know they can't do it. He don't work that way. He don't operate that way. If we don't do it, it's our fault. Falls into our court. And the men should be teachers of the younger men. Teach them the faith. Teach them how to handle situations. The women the same way. They're instructed. The aged women are instructed to teach the younger women how to be proper mothers and wives, and to teach the kids and raise them up in the faith. Hence, we got two epistles called Timothy that was established by Timothy's grandmother and mother that raised him up in the scriptures. And Paul says, I know that you from a child has known the Holy Scriptures, which has made you wise unto salvation. Women have a great role in the church if it's positive. But if it's a bitter, angry human being, whether it's a woman or man in the church, it's good for nothing. The fabric of the love that you're to be knit together is torn. Don't give your ears to it. Shut them down. Put the ball in their court. It's your fault. You say, well, I don't like the way someone talked to me. Well, then it's your fault that you didn't have the Christian stamina to stand up in love and have love for them. Did you read Romans 12 with me, or did you let me read it? He addressed enemies there. How we're to handle enemies? Are you kidding me? Well, we have fellow saints, and we have people. Seriously? What would you do if we had enemies? What would you do if you knew today you ain't going to lunch? You're going to get stripes put to your back by the enemies of the faith. Folks, I remember Brother Moore preached this, and he said in conclusion, maybe our problem is we have it too easy. That may be true. Maybe we have it too easy. Maybe it's so convenient to drive in a car that's conditioned, whether it's heater or air conditioned, walk in here, sit and sleep in comfortable chairs. I mean, folks, when I'm looking at people like, oh, I tell a joke and some of you laugh and I go, I missed it. I'm going to have to get the copy for the joke. Sorry, I didn't mean to poke fun at you. No, I'm kidding with you. Folks, this is a mature thing. It has to do when Paul started this thing called the body of Christ, the first one in it. He gave instructions. He was given instructions, and he gave those instructions to the people. And he was formatting the body like an infant just being born. They develop, and you don't do that. No, 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 no. Come here. No, stay away from. You're giving them instructions. But when they grow up, you shouldn't have to give them instructions that you did when they were a child. But if you don't grow up, you're not going to make sound decisions that better your soul. Go back and read the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Read about it. And read about Lot and his family that were there. Do you know what the Bible says happened to Lot's soul? It was vexed in seeing and hearing the lifestyle that he was involved in. It affects you. And if you've got a negative in the church, they will affect you if you allow it. Be above that. I mean, folks, don't grab the hand of negativity. I mean, I would hope none of you would ever walk outside, climb a power pole, and grab the high line. I mean, I'm hoping we've got enough people in here that knows that 50,000 votes won't do you good at the end of the day. Okay? Use that same narrow. You don't have to be educated to know that unless you're in India on a train and you go, yada, 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 and you grab the power line, but we're not India. Then don't grab the hand of a negative wire of a person. Rise up and think, what would be in the scripture to help them? Don't support them. Don't go down to their level and let them bring you down and vex your soul. Torture your soul. That's what vex means. To torture. To torment. In other words, where you should have some happiness, where you should be excited about your salvation, where you should love the church and the brethren here. Now it's like, you want to go to church? You know, I'm so outdone with so-and-so. I'm so tired of it. Yeah. The old girdle in the hole. You're going to wind up good for nothing at the end of the day. Baton Rouge. In the surrounding areas, Gonzales, Denham, Walker, Port Allen, got a bunch of good-for-nothinger Christians out there because they didn't have the brotherly love being knit together. You say, well, that's awfully harsh words there, Mark. If you can refute this book and what I just preached on with Scripture, then bring it on. Bring it. But don't draw that conclusion in your mind because I've touched on your maybe your sensitive toes, or I touched on a friend or a family member of yours. I'm trying to get you to see the importance of what we have here. I'm trying to get you to see that this is something special. When you look at 2,000 years of the dispensation of grace, folks, this church, where we're at right here, right now, is like this. Tiny, tiny little time frame in all of the 2,000 of years. But you can't imagine how important it is. It's what made up all the times of time past to lead us here. Someone was mentioning to me about, Tim, sorry, my mind's 90 miles an hour right now, about the Grace Churches, the thing going on in Gunnersville. If you hadn't heard, you probably have. Jerry Lockhart is stepping out of the ministry and selling their church over there. There's changes afoot. If I had a spiritual radar, I would see the storms on the horizon. So buckle up, buttercup. It's going to get rough. But you got the Lord to lean on. Okay? I mean, just stand fast in the Lord and concentrate and focus on those things that God has provided you with the Word of God. And go back to that. And rest assured, as Martin said a few weeks ago, it's going to be okay. All right? We're going to get out of here and we're going to look back on this message. All of this stuff is going to be in our minds that when we're out of here, you're going to look back and go, you know what, Mark? It was okay. We made it all right. There wasn't nothing to it. So don't make something out of something where there's nothing to it. If it's simple, keep it simple. If it's difficult, let the Lord handle it. He's good at difficult stuff. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your love that you bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation, but also that it is an emblem of love to us, that we can look at it and incorporate it into our lives and realize that the situations that are here are temporal and that ultimately we're out of here. We're gone. So I pray that we won't let those things bother us, disturb our faith to a point where discouragement sets in, that we'd be strong in the faith, that we'd realize the good of our assembly and cleave to that which is good. These things I pray in Christ Jesus. Amen.